I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Scioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Well, look at that. They got Samuel Jackson out there campaigning for Kamala Harris right now. They're trying everything. All the A-list celebrities trying, but it's not working for them. Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here. It is Friday. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Scioli. Thanks for being part of the show. Appreciate it very much. Got a lot to get to. Tulsi Gabbard, you know, somebody sent me a meme the other day, and it was trading Liz Cheney for Tulsi Gabbard, and it was a picture of Tulsi Gabbard surfing, and I agree. It's a great trade. We'll take Tulsi any day of the week. Absolutely. I've been telling you for years, I really like Tulsi Gabbard. I think she's a very genuine person. And I know some people doubt that. But for me, I can tell if somebody's a good person when I have to meet them. And I've met her. I've sat with her. I've talked to her. I've looked her into the eye. I'm not saying I've gazed into her eyes. Stop it. Grow up. I'm saying I've looked in her eyes. I've seen the person that she is, and I can tell she's sincere. And she served our country. She's a lieutenant colonel in the Army Reserve. And she doesn't need to be doing what she's doing right now. She's doing this because she genuinely believes in Trump, and most importantly, that Donald Trump's going to bring us to a better, more peaceful world. And I think all those things matter. Look, there was a time when the Democrat Party was a different party than it is today. Hell, Reagan was a Democrat at one point. Trump was a Democrat at one point. You know, you gotta understand people evolved. One of my favorite members of Congress, Jeff Van Drew, was a Democrat until 2020. And he saw the party change. So I think the thing about life is that people can change. We're right to be skeptical about it because we have to make sure it's not a change that's purely self-serving. Look, I mean, people in politics do things that are self-serving all the time, obviously. That's politics. But it's not just purely self-serving, then it's authentic. And if it's it could be self-serving. There's nothing wrong with that. If it's authentic, then it's okay. And yeah, I think Tulsi would love to get a job in the Trump administration. I hope he would hire her. I think she'd be fantastic. There's lots of different things she could do and offer her expertise. And so is she out there fighting very hard to get Trump elected because she wants a job? Yes. Is there anything wrong with that? No. She wants to serve her country and be part of his administration. I hope that Dr. Coates is back in the administration. There are several members of Congress who are working very hard right now for Trump who are doing it, I think, for self-serving reasons. And that's not a negative thing. I do this for self-serving reasons. I do it because I want to keep my career and feed my family and pay my bills, and because I love what I do. And I try to do a great show every day, most days of the week, sometimes Fridays, too. Like today, for example, this is not an AI or a hologram. I'm really here. But I do that. But I'm sincere in what I do. I believe in what I do. So people are like, oh, it's self-serving that Congressman Mike Waltz is out there campaigning for Trump because he wants to be the Secretary of Defense or Secretary of the Army or so. So what? That's okay. He wants to serve his country. He wants to make sure Trump gets elected. As long as you're sincere about it and you're not self-serving and you're insincere and you're faking it and you're lying and you're doing it purely for self-interest, that's when I have a problem with somebody. And having looked in Tulsi Gabbard's eyes, I don't believe that she's that person. I believe she's incredibly sincere. She would be great in a Trump administration. I think the same thing with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. He obviously believes that he's got a better – America has a better chance of fighting the correlation between the food industry and the pharma industry with Trump there than Kamala Harris there. And so he also has left the Democrat Party because the Democrat Party has changed. I think really the bigger question you have to ask is, why are so many people still holding on to this Democrat Party? what self-serving, selfish interest are they doing? Because they can't honestly believe in this stuff, can they? I mean, for a lot of them. Like, do you really believe this crap that the Democrat Party's pushing? You know what I mean? Like, come on. Anyway, regarding Tulsi Gabbard, this is what she said regarding independent thinkers and one of the reasons why she left the Democrat Party, why she decided to join the Republican Party and sign up with Donald Trump. Cut 19.
This is what it comes down to. Independent thinkers like me have no home in the Democrat Party of censorship and total conformity and war. Under President Trump's leadership, the Republican Party welcomes people like us, encourages this open debate and different ideas, is pro-freedom, pro-peace. President Trump has transformed this Republican Party that is welcoming many, many people like me to come and actually stand for the core principles of our country, our Constitution, freedom, and peace and prosperity.
There you go. Right there. That's what we're talking about. And Donald Trump's going on Joe Rogan's podcast. The question is, will Kamala Harris go on Joe Rogan's podcast? Should she go on Joe Rogan's podcast? Look, at this point, Kamala Harris should try anything. She's losing. I believe she's going to lose. I'm not predicting she's going to lose because I don't want to make a prediction. I don't want to get overly optimistic here, but I think she's going to lose. I think Trump's going to win. I think it's going to come down to him winning 6 out of the 7 swing states. I do. I think it's going to, and I think the margins are going to be bigger than what we're saying. I guess I am predicting Trump's going to win, but I'm just nervous about that only because I don't want anybody to take it for granted. And I don't want you to wait till Election Day to vote. I think you have to vote early. I'm going to vote early. I'm voting next week. I know New Jersey's blue, but whatever. There's Republicans I got to vote for regardless. But, and hopefully we can, you know, pick up a Senate seat in Curtis Bashaw. And I mean, you know, we'll always hope, right? We'll try and you never know. But the point is, I'm voting early on Monday because I want to just get it over with. And this way, if Election Day, if I'm going to be somewhere and I may be somewhere on Election Day, whatever, I have nothing left to chance. I think it's the way we got to do it. But isn't it interesting, Kamala Harris won't go on Joe Rogan's podcast. Ian Sams, who's her spokesperson, said it's just a scheduling issue. Scheduling. Now, she took the other day off, like Ferris Bueller. She had Kamala Harris's day off, leading a twist and shout rendition in the streets, except she didn't do that, obviously, because that would involve work. But this is what her spokesperson said on MSNBC, cut number 20.
Can I ask you about Rogan? Was there a Rogan invite to the vice president that was turned down? Is it something you would consider doing, given the size of that audience and given that a lot of the folks that Trump seems to be targeting might be listening to that?
Well, yeah, I think that the vice president's happy to go anywhere and any place to talk to a broad segment of the country. We talked with Rogan and his team about the podcast. Unfortunately, it isn't going to work out right now because of the scheduling of this period of the campaign.
That guy looks like Gollum from Lord of the Rings, doesn't he? I don't want to be shallow here, but that Ian Sams guy. He may want to grow a goatee or something. You know, I mean, he looks like a young Smirconish kind of too, doesn't he? A little bit. It's not a good look. I'm just saying. Hey, let me give you an anniversary shout out to Old Man Dudley. 52 years married on Monday. They're celebrating their anniversary at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey this weekend. Hopefully they're having a very happy time. This is our happy hour brought to you by the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, where we'll be back live for our next show on December 20th. So mark your calendar. It's going to be a lot of fun. And remember, you have a promo code you can use for your midweek stays. It is my name, Zioli. You'll save 25% off midweek stays at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. You can use it any time between now and December 31st for midweek stays. All right, and we'll see you there December 20th for our next live show. This is the key. So a buddy of mine, my buddy Eric, just texted me, and I'll read you his text. He said, Zioli, it's not that they left the party. It's that the Democrats shrunk their tent, pushed people out, and forced everyone to think like them. Well, that's true, but there are people who are remaining Democrats. I don't understand why. I mean, for example, I'll give you a great example. If you're a Democrat who goes on Fox News, and you're, and I'm not going to name names here, but you were in the military, you served in Congress in Pennsylvania, and you go on Fox News as the Democrat, do you really honestly believe half the crap you're saying? You know what I mean? I'm not going to name names. I think you know what I'm talking about here, but like, come on. Or are you doing that because that's the gig? Like, you're the Democrat on Fox News, you know? Like, I think Jessica Tarlov is a true believer, but there are other people who go on Fox News as Democrats, and I listen to them, and I talk to them sometimes in the hallway, and I'm like, you really believe this crap you're saying here, or is this kind of, you know, like a gig? You know what I mean? See, I don't have the ability to fake it. I don't have the memory. My memory is bad. It really is. It's bad. Like, I'm at the point now, and Mama Zioli used to do this with me and my siblings when we just start naming names. So, like, say Reagan would be bad, and I'll just start, Patrick, Claire, Reagan, until, you know what I mean? Just until you find the one that's doing the bad thing. I can't fake it. I can't remember what I said 25 minutes ago. I can't be a con artist. I'm just not capable of it. My point is, I think there are some people who know the Democrat Party has gone so far kooky left and is the party of war and the party of censorship, yet they are out there defending Kamala Harris. And those reasons are truly and purely self-serving, but I don't think they really believe it. You know what I mean? I think deep down inside, when the camera goes off, they're like, yeah, you know. Anyway, maybe I'm wrong. See what you think. Here's somebody who is a great example of the way that they mock and belittle the American people. If you are somebody who does not think like they do, and this is the way the left always is about things. The way the left is that if you don't agree with them on everything, they'll mock you and belittle you. And they do this a lot with people who are minorities, as they're called by the left, Latinos, people of color, black people, whatever it is the term du jour is. This Atlantic writer claims that black and Hispanic voters who are shifting towards Donald Trump are doing so for the following. This is George Packer. All right. And I think you can understand the implication here of what he's implying. Very similar to they keep expanding this basket of deplorables, you know, finding new ways to insult people, insult their intelligence for why they could be voting for somebody like Donald Trump. It's not their policies. It's not the fact they like Trump's policies. Remember, if you're a black man and you're voting for Trump or you're not voting for Kamala Harris, it's because you're a misogynist, sexist pig. According to Barack Obama, you brothers out there, you're doing that just because you're a sexist, misogynistic pig. It's not because you like Trump's policies better. It's not because you think Barack Obama's full of crap and that Kamala Harris is full of crap and you want him to go back to Martha's Vineyard and double the black population. Because when he gets back there, it doubles by 50%. When he leaves, though, it's still the whitest place on planet Earth. But it's cute that he comes to places like Pittsburgh and Chicago and lectures the brothers on how to vote. But this is an Atlantic writer, George Packer, cut 14.
But the sharpest divide in our politics today is education. It's whether you have a college degree or not. That is the likeliest determinant of whether you're going to vote Republican or Democratic. And that's why we're seeing larger numbers, and I met some of them in Western Pennsylvania, of Latinos and black voters who are moving toward Trump.
They're uneducated dumbasses is basically what he's saying. They're uneducated dumbasses. Yes, Packer makes it seem like college graduates are enlightened. The Harvard Crimson just released data on faculty political donations for the 2024 election cycle. Harvard affiliates have contributed $2.3 million to political candidates, 94% of which has gone to Democrats. That's right. Gone to Democrats. Shocking, I know. But when they do this education thing, what they want people to understand, though, is that, and they do this all the time, they go, the divide in America is college education. Like, for example, in Philadelphia, they'll go, the uneducated or the people without college degrees, you know, people that work for a living, they're voting for Trump. And college-educated white liberals who live in Center City and Rittenhouse Square and places like that, well, they're voting for Kamala Harris, and they're voting for the Democrats. They're the enlightened ones. It's easier to fool those blue-collar rubes. And they have such disrespect for the blue-collar workers in this country who don't have college degrees in many cases, and they do so, and they show that disrespect by paying off the student loans for those white liberals in Center City who went to elite colleges and may well earn more than blue-collar workers will for the rest of their lives, because that's the Democrat core base. Remember what Carville said, the Democrat Party has become the party of the faculty lounge and the coastal elites. And yes, they think they're better than you. Yes, they think they're smarter than you. And yes, they think you're a dummy for supporting Donald Trump. That's the truth. But Philadelphians say they're voting for Donald Trump. This is a video. Voting for Trump is common sense. Cut 18.
We could take off the magic glasses now. Everything is exposed.
When I was a Democrat, I was a convict. Now that I'm a Republican, I'm a business owner.
I am putting all of my hope on Donald Trump. Trump, Trump, baby, drill, baby, drill.
You know, Democrats promise, promise, promise. They always know what to say, but they don't actually give anything.
The increased number of black men voting for Trump has go back to common sense. Enough's enough.
Enough's enough. It's just like the clip earlier, and I think it's worth replaying again. I really want to replay this clip. I played it earlier in the show, but it's Philadelphia voters, undecided voters, who are not moved by the argument that Donald Trump is Hitler. They reject it. They reject the notion of this, soundly reject this idea. Cut 10.
In the last few days, the vice president has started to talk about Donald Trump as a fascist, as someone who's spoken approvingly of Hitler. Raise your hand if you've heard about those comments. Okay. What do folks think? Is that something that's persuasive to you? Is that something that you'll factor into your vote? Linda?
To me, it's horrible that she's saying that about him. If he was saying that about her, everybody would be up in arms. I just don't think that's right.
What other folks think about what the vice president's saying? Based on accounts of people who've worked with President Trump, what do folks think about her making those charges and those characterizations?
She obviously thinks it's going to help her. I don't think it does at all. I don't know why, if it was Kelly who heard the president say that. I'm not saying he did or he didn't. I don't think he'd lie. I think you said that, Mark, on an episode. But I think that he had a responsibility to resign the day that was said, if that's true. I don't think that's the case.
I can't. I think part of the reason why I'm being pushed towards Trump so strongly is that I find that the Democrats and the left just keep going straight to Hitler all of the time with everything. Like, if it's not the left pushing Hitler, it's the right pushing Stalin. So it's like we're fighting World War II every single day for every single election. So it's so exhausting. I think it just detracts from, it pushes me away from their position, and it, you know, it's so hyperbolic that it makes it impossible to have good discussions, and I think it ruins the discourse.
Does anybody think it's valuable or something you want to hear from the vice president? Anybody raise your hand if you think this is something that's important for her to be talking about. Anybody? Okay.
I disagree with the last guy who said the right keeps bringing, because nobody's making Stalin comparisons. Nobody. We make Marxist comparisons, but Marxism is a political philosophy. And Karl Marx was a philosopher. He wasn't a genocidal maniac. The people that ran the Soviet Union were genocidal maniacs. But when I say somebody's a Marxist, I'm not implying that they're going to put people in extermination camps. I'm not implying that they're going to do purges. I'm not implying that they're going to do what Mao did. I'm implying that they're going to lead by an economic policy of communism or Marxism or socialism. But it's important to note that in all of those systems, they always come with very brutal totalitarian tactics, police state tactics and censorship. And there's also not enough bread to go around for all the bread lines. So they also do come up with policies that have to deal with the elimination of segments of the population. That also happens in every communist country. There's a difference between, obviously, communism is espoused in a philosophy book in college or by some kid playing hacky sack, and the way it's put in place by somebody like Lenin or Stalin or Justin Trudeau's dad, allegedly. Okay, so let me rephrase that. I'm sorry. Trudeau is having a bad week, by the way. Trudeau is having a bad, bad week. They're running him out of Canada, basically, right now. Is he going to go back to Cuba, Matt DeSantis? Is that where he's headed?
Is the official stance of the Rich Zeoli show that he is Canadian and not Cuban?
Allegedly. But I've said he's bi. He's bi. But I mean, by like he like half Cuban, half Canadian, because his mom was Canadian. He's probably bi as well, but his mom was Canadian. Nobody doubts that. It's the father part. You know what I mean? We know where the egg came from. It's the sperm. That's the real, you know. And for that, we're going Cubano.
No, we believe Pierre Trudeau, Justin Trudeau's father, was born in Canada.
We believe that Pierre Trudeau was born in Canada. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Yes. However,
you missed part of that, which was crucial.
Well, let's just say hypothetically, Fidel Castro was his dad. Like, and I'm being totally hypothetical here because they look exactly alike and they act exactly alike as well. then people who are always like, well, Castro was a hell of a guy, like Justin Trudeau, who cried at his funeral, which, listen, your dad dies, you're going to cry. I get it. But he was very, very gushing over him. But he's had a bad week. Aren't they driving him out of Canada right now? And they're actually like reversing his immigration policies as well, Matt DeSantis.
Yeah, he's going to significantly reduce immigration over the next 2 years, apparently. Trudeau conceded that.
All right, there's something else I got to mention as well, which is this. And where was I going with Trudeau? Wait, I know what it was.
You distracted yourself.
No, I got a text from somebody about something, and it did distract me because it was something else. But what were you going to say about Trudeau? You were saying that they are now reining in his own immigration policy because they're tired of it in Canada.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, things aren't going well for him if he was willing to, you know, concede that point.
Exactly my point. All right. But here's what I really want to mention. I want to mention that Matt DeSantis' favorite member of Congress, Hank Johnson, has endorsed finally. Kamala Harris. This is a game changer. Don't you think?
I think that, yeah, now, Hank Johnson, as everyone knows, is my favorite member of Congress. This may change everything.
Hank Johnson, who, of course, one time asked the question of whether or not Guam would flip over from climate change and the military base there and become submerged. He's a helium advocate, among his other dumbass policies over the years.
He also has talked about whether or not the Tooth Fairy is too woke. And, of course, famously had to apologize on the House floor for saying the M word.
The which
word? The M word.
The M word.
Yes.
Which is, what's the M word again? What was that for?
I'm not saying it, but here, you can listen to him if you'd like.
Yeah, go ahead. Let's say listen. Go ahead.
Last night I used an analogy that some find offensive. And I certainly was not meaning to be offensive or use a derogatory term. Everybody knows what the N-word is. I had never heard of the M-word.
Yeah.
Representative Shankowski, the M-word. But to my discovery, just within the last 12 hours or so, I have found that the use of the midget, the use of the M word is no longer socially acceptable. Now, the M word
is the best part of this clip. The best part of this clip of this idiot Congressman Hank Johnson is that as he's saying he can't say the M word, he says the word. That's the best part of this. He's like, I didn't know that you couldn't use the M word. I had no idea you couldn't say midget. Oh, wait, I just did it. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I that's unreal. I mean, excuse me, the M word, not midget, the M word.
Wait, I had no idea. Can we listen to the last 10 seconds of this? Because his close is so strong.
Back it up to the part where he says the word again. Please, I beg of you.
Here we go.
Discovery. Just within the last 12 hours or so, I have found that the use of the M word is no longer socially acceptable. Now, the M word refers to a group of people, the little people.
The little people. The little people. It's the best.
It's the worst best. Apology ever.
It's the greatest apology in the history of apologies. It's offended everybody that we represent the little people. Oh, man.
I have some more of his greatest hits if you want them.
The M word refers to the little people. And I had no idea that in using the word midget, the M word, that I was offending the little people, the little trolls out there, the little elves, the elfin community, all those people that make the toys for us in the North Pole. I had no idea how offended they'd all. I apologize to all of them. I even stepped on one today as I was walking into work. Oh, wait, do you have him talking about Guam tipping over, please? That's my favorite.
Yeah, I've got all of his greatest hits here. Let's listen to Guam tipping over.
This is my
capsizing is the term.
The island of Guam capsizing.
An island that at its widest level is 12 miles from shore to shore, and at its smallest level location, it's 7 miles between one shore and the other. Is that correct?
I don't have the exact dimensions, but to your point, sir, I think Guam is a small island.
Very small island, and about 24 miles, if I recall, long. So 24 miles long, about 7 miles wide at the least widest place on the island, and about 12 miles wide on the widest part of the island.
That's the worst math question ever.
I don't know how many square miles that is. Do you happen to know?
I don't have that figure with me, sir. I can certainly supply it to you if you'd like.
Yeah, my fear is that the whole island will become so overly populated that it will tip over and capsize.
We don't anticipate that.
Like a raft. You got too many people on the party boat, on the pontoon boat, and then it capsizes over like the Poseidon Adventure, like in that movie with the ship, and they all got to climb through. Do you think that could happen? Then Guam capsizes, and everybody's going to try to drill up through Guam to get up to the top of Guam and wave a flag to get so everybody can rescue the people who are the Guamians, who are also little people and midgets. Ironically enough, do you think the little midgets of Guam will be able to burrow through once the island capsizes and get to the top and wave for help? Do you imagine what this general is sitting there thinking? This is a member of Congress asking him this question.
I'm begging you. Can we play one more?
Is it the helium one?
It can be helium or it can be the woke tooth fairy. Your choice.
Let's do the woke tooth fairy. That's a good one too. All right, go ahead, do that one.
Believe that the insurrection of January 6th was not an insurrection. It was just a tourist visit. And they want you to believe that the tooth fairy is woke and anti-Christian.
Yes. True. I've always said the tooth fairy is Satan, the embodiment of Satan. You leave a tooth there, and the tooth fairy comes in and puts a 666 on the back of your kid's head, carves it in, and then puts money there. True story, no joke. All right, so that was Hank Johnson, who's now endorsed Kamala Harris. This could be a game changer. With that in very long setup, let's play his endorsement of Kamala Harris, which is about as short as the little people he offended. Cut 24.
So proud to honor our vice president, who's soon to be our next president, Kamala Harris.
There you go. Very good. Very good. That was a stunning, stunning endorsement, Hank Johnson. That's great. All right. McCausland Lock and Alarm is going to help you, if you are a business owner, secure what matters, which is your business, access to your facilities. My buddy Tom McCausland is a great guy, and you need to reach out to him today. We talk about crime on this show all the time. It is a huge issue in America, obviously, and it's something that we really hope will change very soon if the election goes our way. But either way, you got to make sure your facility is secure. Security and safety are a priority for you. And what McCausland Lock and Alarm can do is help you with control access. That means a state-of-the-art key card system, so you determine who can get where in your facility and when. An incredible camera system. You can keep an eye on everything going on in your facility. Look, a lot of companies can offer you these things, but there's only one Tom McCausland. He's a great guy. He's a great friend. He stands with veterans, and he stands with our community. And he's got a wealth of knowledge and experience when it comes to security. That allows McCausland to effectively protect all types of facilities, no matter what the environment. And just as important is their customer service. It's unmatched. You're never going to have an example where you got to call an 800 number, you don't know who you're talking to, you don't know what button to push. No. You need help, you're going to talk to Tom directly in most cases, or somebody very close to him on his team. And he's there for you every step of the way. So if you're serious about protecting your facilities, and you should be, you need to seriously consider my friend Tom McCausland and McCausland Lock and Alarm. 610-430-1500. Call him and find out what he can do to secure your facilities. They'll help you gain control, then control and peace of mind. It's what you need in this day and age. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. Securing your business, securing your future.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories, the unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, so Tulsi Gabbard as UN Secretary. That's an interesting thought from Johnny Cook. I like that idea. Look, as the election gets closer, we're realizing right now the way the Democrats are imploding here. The LA Times, Washington Post refusing to endorse Kamala Harris. I mean, this is bad. It's really, really bad here. And there's a piece of the Daily Wire today, which I thought was very interesting. It was written by Virginia Cruda. I worked for John Kelly, and I don't believe him. No one's buying the Atlantic Trump loves Hitler smear. The Atlantic's Trump loves Hitler hit piece hit a snag, as several people who worked alongside and for retired Marine General John Kelly have come out to publicly dispute his claims. In the article that was published on Tuesday, Kelly was quoted as saying that Trump had often praised the German generals and then asked to clarify and told Kelly he wanted the kind of generals that Hitler had. Wait a second. I'm getting distracted again. One second. Hang on a second here. Okay. Hey, it's Riley Gaines. Oh, but it's just like one of those Stand With Women events. Tulsi and Riley on Sunday. Am I seeing Riley? Am I seeing Tulsi on Sunday, DeSantis? Did you figure this out for us or what?
It's not been completely settled just yet, but I have been speaking with her team, and we're working on it.
We've got our best people working on it. Our
no,
best
you have
people.
Me working on it.
Yeah, and no chance. Mercedes Schlapp, I don't even start. Don't even
There's
start.
A chance. I'm optimistic.
Should it be in Philly? If this doesn't happen, then you're even more useless than I thought, honestly. Record levels of uselessness.
I'd say it's 50-50. It's decent odds.
50-50?
Well, with each passing day we don't have confirmation, I get less optimistic. But the fact that they're still in communication is a good sign.
Well, they got to figure this out. It's supposed to be on Fox News on Sunday, so I got to work around the time on that, too. So we got to make all this work.
Uh-oh. Yeah, is it early? Is it an early Fox News hit?
Well, no, it's not necessarily early. It's sometime between 12 and 2. That's all I know.
Oh, but that is cutting it close, because I think Tulsi's event starts at 11.
But I could probably do it from her event if we can plan ahead, you know, if you can not procrastinate.
I've been having a conversation with them since I think Monday or Tuesday. We're working on it. We're progressing.
Fine. Mercedes Schlapp, I work for John Kelly and I don't believe him. His last ditch effort to stop Donald Trump is desperate. This is a personal vendetta from a staffer who failed at his job and believed as a chief of staff that he should have been the ultimate decision maker. President Trump, she goes on to say here, President Trump loves America, will preserve our freedom, and has done more for the Jewish people than any other president. Remember something, though, this attack against Trump being Hitler, this is not about Jews necessarily. It is, of course, obviously, but it's about him being a dictator. And that's what they still want people to believe, that Trump is going to get in there and be a dictator, even though he wasn't a dictator the last time. And as Dr. Victoria Coates pointed out, and as we pointed out many, many times, he left. He left the White House. He left the White House. He didn't stay. Unlike dictators who stay and don't leave, which is a very, very important point. CNN's polling guru says battleground state sweep is more likely than not. This is CNN's Harry Enten, believes that a sweep of the main battleground states in the presidential election is more likely than not, meaning that whoever wins is probably going to win 6 out of 7, maybe possibly all 7. It's very possible that could happen. This is cut number 2.
Things change even just a little bit.
Yeah.
It's not really close.
It isn't. You know, so we have been talking about the idea that there's going to be a historically close election. I think I might have said it on this particular program. But in fact, will the winner get at least 300 electoral votes? The answer is majority yes. There's a majority yes chance, 60% chance, that the winner of this election gets at least 300 electoral votes versus just a 40% chance that the winner ends up getting less than 300 electoral votes. So for all the talk that we've had about this election being historically close, which it is, chances are the winner will still actually score a relative blowout in the Electoral College.
Oh my God, you're making my hair hurt.
Boom!
How can it be that it's so close, but yet still more likely than not that it's a fairly big victory in the Electoral College?
Yeah, so let's take a look at that polling average, all right? So if you look across the 7 key swing
let's
states...
Let's stop it right there for a second here. Hang on a second here. What they're saying here has been consistent throughout what we've talked about on the show. But I think the fact that CNN is revealing this, I think the fact that Washington Post did an endorser, I think the fact that New York Times did it, I mean, the LA Times did an endorser, the fact that the Teamsters did an endorser, I think the fact that you've got the other union groups who didn't back her as well. This is a problem. I mean, this everybody sees where this is going right now, and it's looking really good for Trump. But let's keep going with this. Go ahead.
All of them. The margin right now is under 2 points. But keep in mind, polling ain't perfect, my dear friends. On average, since 1972, in the battleground states, in the key swing states, the average error in the key swing states is 3.4 points. So if all of the battleground states go in one direction, you can end up with a map like this for Kamala Harris, where she wins all the key Great Lake battleground states, wins North Carolina, wins Georgia, wins Arizona, wins Nevada. and she gets to $319.
That's even better than Biden did.
Of course, it could go in the other direction, whereby Trump wins all the key Great Lake battleground states, North Carolina, Georgia, Arizona, and Nevada, and he gets to 312 electoral
votes. And that's even better than Trump did in 2016.
Exactly right. So based upon what we see with the average polling error and how close the states are at this point, if all of the states move in one direction, one of these candidates could score a relative blah on the Electoral College, win 300-plus electoral votes. What?
Not one of these candidates. It's probably going to be Donald Trump. I mean, I'm just I think CNN knows that, too. Cassie Hunt on CNN made a great observation. And I remind you of this, back in 2016 when I was in afternoon drive and Dawn and I walked out of the studio. It was election day. It was election night, or the night before the election, I guess. And Bruce Springsteen and Bon Jovi were doing a concert on Independence Mall. Back then we were at our studio on 400 Market Street. So we were right there. A sea of white faces lined up to see Springsteen and Bon Jovi, the two fake farmers from Jersey. And Dawn said, Trump's going to win. There's no black people here. Well, Bruce Springsteen is back on the campaign trail for Hillary Clinton. For Kamala Harris. Hillary Clinton is back on the campaign trail for Kamala Harris. And Barack Obama is back on the campaign trail for Kamala Harris. An interesting observation CNN's Cassie Hunt made today, cut number 4.
Along with Samuel L. Jackson, Tyler Perry, Spike Lee, all headlining for Kamala Harris in Metro Atlanta on Thursday. Also appearing together with Harris on the same stage for the first time, Barack Obama. With 11 days to go, I got to tell you, to this reporter, it feels a little familiar because I remember these scenes from 2016 when Hillary Clinton rallied in Philadelphia with Barack Obama and Bruce Springsteen.
But tonight, girl, we'll be free. All the promises will be broken.
That event was basically a victory rally that was held before all the votes were cast. And we all know how it turned out. And now, once again, the same cultural clash, the split screen, is on pretty sharp display.
And a lot of people left the concert, left the rally as soon as the concert ended. Okay, they were just like, oh, I'll go hear Springsteen for free, but I'm not staying listening to Hillary Clinton. No, this is 2016 all over again. I mean, it really is. But this is Groundhog Day in a time warp Groundhog Day of the political campaign. It's literally waking up and hearing, I got you, babe. I mean, even down to the attacks, Kamala Harris doubling down on her disgusting inciting rhetoric against Donald Trump. Today in Houston, or yesterday in Houston, again, doing the same thing, saying the same crap Hillary Clinton said back then. Cut 26.
Mitch McConnell and Speaker Mike Johnson put out a statement comparing rhetoric that you have been using, comparing it to the man who's accused of an attempted assassination on your opponent, Donald Trump. Do you take their criticism seriously?
Well, listen, we all must speak out against any form of political violence, and I'm very clear about that. No one should be the subject of violence, much less political violence. But the American people deserve to be presented with facts and the truth. And the fact and the truth is that some of the people closest to Donald Trump when he was president, generals, including most recently John Kelly, a 4-star Marine general, have been very clear about the danger and the threat that Donald Trump poses to America.
Mitch McConnell and Speaker.
Playing the Fuhrer card. This is the big story of the hour brought to you by our buddy Dr. Mike Veneria, VeneriaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. And mark down November 9th for his Veterans Breakfast and free community shredding event at his office in Cinnaminson, New Jersey. Senate Democrats associate with a man fellow Democrats claim is like Adolf Hitler, playing the Fuhrer card. The question the Wall Street Journal asks, is Senator Bob Casey a closet fan of Adolf Hitler? How about Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin? We ask because both Senate Democrats are running ads as part of their reelection campaigns that associate themselves with Donald Trump. And they're doing this even as fellow Democrats and the press corps are suggesting that Trump admires Hitler and has similar dictatorial ambitions. Now, look, the only thing I have to say, and this goes on, but the fact is that this is Groundhog Day from 2016. Same attacks, same bad washed-up singer has-beens, bad washed-up A-list, B-list celebrities. It's literally Groundhog Day. The only thing missing is the Sonny and Cher. I mean, Cher's blocked me on Twitter. I don't know what she's saying. And, of course, Sonny, you know, God rest his soul. Anyway, listen, Cherry Hill Bob, we got a big fourth and final hour coming up straight ahead. Thank you for streaming on YouTube. We appreciate you. But don't worry, still got an hour to go. But I want to say thank you to Cherry Hill Vavo. This is an incredible time to get the Cherry Hill Vavo. Take advantage of their fall savings extravaganza. Like, for example, 2025 XC40. You can lease that for only $435 a month on a 36-month lease. Or a 2024 C40 for only $329 a month on a 36-month lease. And incredible financing offers at Cherry Hill Volvo. 3.99% financing on select new Volvos for 72 months. These are incredible deals, but most importantly, Cherry Hill Volvo is where you want to go. Because there's only one Volvo dealership that stands with us here at Talk Radio 1210 WPHD, and that's Cherry Hill Volvo. So it's worth the trip. They are the region's most accessible Volvo dealership, right over the bridge on Route 70 in Cherry Hill. But what sets them apart from every other car dealership out there is that they put the value on relationships. They do the right thing. There's never any pressure. You will always have the luxury experience you deserve. So take advantage and get there today. Whether it's the S-Class, made at their plant in South Carolina, American jobs, baby, or the XC90, the third-row family car that we drive in our house as the Zioli family, Cherry Hill Volvo is where you want to go. Judith Krupnik and the entire team will take incredible care of you, and you'll love these specials. Absolutely. 3.99% financing. You can't beat that. And the lease on the XC40, a great SUV, great size, great technology. Definitely want to check it out. Cherry Hill Volvo is where relationships matter. And listen, in the next hour, I got to get into this Biden. Oh, man. Biden mumbles and stutters. And a question I want to ask you right at the top of the hour. Do you trust the government when it comes to facial recognition technology? That's the question I have for you. Do you trust the government? And I want you to think about this because you may not be aware of what the government is doing when it comes to facial recognition technology. But I'm going to share that with you straight ahead.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events. Major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.